And he just starts saying, thank you, Jesus. And I'm mad at this guy who was playing around and just injured. This guy is trying to help us. And Richard's saying, thank you, Jesus. And I said, what are you doing? Jesus, this has nothing to do with this. What are you saying, thank you, Jesus? He didn't do this. But I remember that. That situation, that incident, so clearly, because it keeps reminding me in everything, give thanks, because this is the will of God. Why? Because it protects your heart from bitterness.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, part two of a message entitled Grateful-Heartedness. Pastor Wayne will show us that we function at our best, at our optimum, when we have a heart filled with thanksgiving. Here he is with the conclusion of the message, Grateful-Heartedness.
See what happened with the children of Israel? They allowed grumbling to take place. Let's read the next one. Ready? Go. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And they began to grumble. When your heart remains thankful, it keeps you from getting bitter. And we've got to recalibrate our hearts back to that, where the beginning of our heart is gratefulness. Not the end of my reach, but the beginning of my reach. That's the base of my heart. That's the core. And I correct back to that. We all need our hearts recalibrated back to that, where Jesus and me make a majority. I'm okay. I have his forgiveness. I have his grace. It's okay. One day the disciples came back and said, God, we're so excited because demons are subject to us in your name. You know what the Lord said? Correct back, correct back. Well, what do you mean? You want to rejoice in anything? Yeah, rejoice in this, that your names are what? Written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yeah, it says that's what you rejoice in. If you can correct back to that, everything else is icing on the cake. If you understand that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life because of what Jesus did on the cross, that in itself has given you enough to party about till Jesus comes again. Everything else is icing. We've got to recalibrate our hearts back to that. Otherwise, well, I'm only going to rejoice if I've got a little more of this, a little more of that, a little more money, a little bigger house, a little bigger car, a little faster car, a little this, a little that, and then I'm happy. And the Lord says, you know, Wayne, you got to recalibrate your heart. Your heart's off. And if your heart is off, everything goes off. Recalibrate. Just like I was going to Los Angeles this week to, actually, we opened up a new New Hope Church. Jesse Lee, who's a Korean pastor here, handed the baton to another pastor, and it's called New Hope All Nations. He went to Glendale and just pioneered New Hope in Los Angeles. And we had the grand opening, started with 600 people. I mean, it's a phenomenal beginning, a Korean church there. And so I went over there, and they have new security now. You'll notice it's federal security now. And so I went through, and I guess I look, you know, Muslim or something. I don't know. So they stopped me, and I'm thinking, why? So they pulled my computer out, and the computer I do my messages on usually that I take with me. So they wiped it down. They put it in this computer, and it turned up that something was wrong because they called the supervisor in. They make me take off my shoes, my belt, my coat, and everything that I had. They started going through my case, and they wanted me to take off more, so that's enough. And then they had me sit down. The supervisor stood next to me, detained me. I said, what's going on? He said, we found traces of explosives on your computer. I said, well, I know my messages are bad, but not explosive. He didn't like that. And so he checked it again, and I mean, they started asking me questions. So they looked at me real funny, and they said, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a pastor, sure. Where are you going? I'm gonna open a church, sure. And so they started asking me all these questions. Well, after a while, I was sitting there, isn't a half hour going by, 40 minutes going by, and they're checking everything and asking questions. And so finally I said, you know, that's just a regular computer, and I've traveled a lot, and that, this has never happened before. And they said, excuse me, we're checking this. So I said, well, let me, you know, and my phone started to go off, you know, someone was calling me. So I said, here, I'll turn, don't touch that. That's, well, it's mine, don't touch it. So I'm, okay, I might blow up. Okay, all right. Really, sticklers. Well, I don't realize, you know, that people aren't, you know, apt to laugh like I'd like to laugh. So I didn't realize. So, they're going through this thing. I said, you know, I bet you better recalibrate that computer. He said, we recalibrate it 3 times a day. I mean, to tell you, you don't want to joke with these guys. They have no sense of humor. No sense of humor. Well, finally, everything was okay, and they let me go. You know, and I thought, well, that's great, because they're just doing their job. Nothing wrong with that. Thank goodness everything was okay, but they're catching, you know, things like that. And they said it was my hand antibacterial thing that I used. Well, that's great. I don't know. And so, but as I left, I thought, you know, Lord, they recalibrate that computer 3 times a day. And at that point, I was going a little upset. And I thought, maybe, Lord, you need to recalibrate my heart a little bit. And the Lord said, that's right. You need to recalibrate your heart often and always recalibrate it back, because like sensitive instruments, you'll get bumped. You'll hit corners and sharp corners. You'll run into some problems. And if you don't take the time to recalibrate back, you'll go off and the reading is incorrect and you'll think it's right, but it's not right. And how often we need to recalibrate our hearts back to the fact that you and Jesus make a majority, with food and clothing therewith to be content. Start there. So that gratefulness is not the end of your reach, but the beginning of your reach. Begin there. And how many of us would say, I need to recalibrate my heart in that way quite often? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, we all need that. And it just may be a lesson for us today through Exodus 15 that he teaches to the children of Israel. It wasn't just for the children of Israel. It's for us today. So the first thing about a grateful heart is that it protects our heart from being bitter or embittered. Now, I noticed something else about this in the story of Exodus 15. Here is this pool of water that's bitter, not drinkable. And the people begin to grumble. What are we going to drink? You're going to put our graves here? Is that what you've got? What kind of leader are you? And they start grumbling again right after God does a grand miracle of splitting the Red Sea. And it wasn't that hard. And if God can split the Red Sea, he can give us water to drink. And he shows that to the people in just a little while. He'll open up a rock and water will come out. When was the last time you saw a rock produce water? God is saying basically this. It doesn't matter. I can do anything. Well, the people don't realize this and they start to grumble. Now, I want you to see something with me. Let's read the scripture under number 2. Then we'll come back and fill in the blank. Let's read it. Ready? Go. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree and threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. And there he tested them. Now I want you to underline, and the Lord showed him a tree. I want you to see with me that when the people were grumbling, God didn't have to create a tree that would be thrown into the water and change the water from bitter to sweet. He didn't, out of thin air, materialize a tree. God did not speak into existence a tree and then transplant it. He says that he showed them a tree, which meant that the tree was there all the time. It was there in their midst, and they're grumbling about not being able to resolve this problem. And God says, there's a tree right there. If you just throw it into the water, everything will be taken care of. They were probably eating bento lunch under this tree. The very answer that they needed. And they're grumbling. Oh, stupid Moses. He's here to die. That's what he's doing. And it's like the tree is saying, hello, hello. That dumb Moses. I can't believe it. You know what happens? When we have an ungrateful heart, the very answer to the problem that we're struggling with can be right next to us, and we will not see it, because here's what ungratefulness does. It blinds you to the answers. So what does a grateful heart do? Conversely, here it is. Would you write it in your notes? A grateful heart, the power of a grateful heart is that it opens our eyes to the answers. You see, grumbling will cause you to focus on what we don't have. And when we focus so much on what I don't have, I miss the very things that I do have. I need more money. I need more budget. I need more influence. I need more notice. People need to notice me more. Whatever it is. And the Lord is saying, what do you have? Because I'm going to do a miracle with what you do have, not with what you don't have. But if you don't recalibrate your heart back to what gratefulness is, the answer can be right in front of you to your problem, but you'll be blind to it. Lose your heart for your marriage. Lose your heart for ministry. Lose your heart for whatever, and you're not grateful for what you have. You'll run into a problem, and you'll say, there's no way out of this. Irreconcilable. No good. Can't have it. Can't do it. No solution. And God is saying, it's because a heart of ungratefulness will blind you to what you have. It'll cause your heart to get darkened. Let's read what Romans 1:21 says. Ready? Go. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. Listen, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. You see, when we don't give thanks, what happens to our heart? It becomes darkened. That's why the Bible prays, Paul is praying in Ephesians 1:18 around there. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened, that you will know what the hope is of his calling, the riches, the surpassing richness of his greatness, and the greatness of his power towards us who believe. We find in 2 Corinthians, if you've been reading along with us in devotions, he prays in the third chapter, he says, although our outer man is decaying, there are struggles on the outside. Our inner man is being renewed day by day. An outside storm doesn't become an inside storm. For momentary light affliction, you run into some problems, will produce for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. There's something greater. There's an answer. There's a gem in every situation that seems like an affliction. Well, how do we find that gem? How do we enter into your kingdom, your promises for us, rather than sit in the desert and die because of this problem? Here it is. While we look not at the things which are seen, situation, but at the things which are unseen, eternal gems. For the things which are seen are temporal, but that which is unseen is eternal. Here's what God is saying. If I have an ungrateful heart, I will not be able to see the eternal things that God has for us in this situation. But if I will recalibrate my heart and say, Lord, I'm just grateful that I'm saved, that you're there with me, you will find that when you hit problems, options, answers, solutions will start to pop up. You'll see doors that open. Lose a grateful heart, can't do it. No way through. Everything is one big brake pedal. But you have a grateful heart. And I would suggest this to those of you that are married, both husband and wife. You'll need both spouses now to retain and keep recalibrating to a grateful heart. Don't ever lose a heart of gratefulness. Because when you retain a heart of gratefulness, because you will find puddles of bitter water at times. But gratefulness will protect your heart from becoming bitter. And it'll start to open up options and solutions. If you'll maintain a heart of gratefulness. Doesn't matter what kind of house you live in. I remember when Anna and I bought our first house with 780 square feet. It's about as big as your bathroom. And that was our house. And the whole house. And I remember going through it and saying, man, don't we have a neat house? I am so thankful for this house. The rooms were so small. I mean, you couldn't even change your mind in it. It's just cramped. It's easy to clean. You just turn around, you clean all the walls. That's it. One rag. But I remember us walking through the house telling each other, aren't we so grateful for this? What were we doing? Well, first of all, we were lying. And second, no. But what we were doing was this. We were reminding each other, keep a grateful heart. This is what God has given to us. And if we'll be good stewards with this, then he can give us more. But if we're bad stewards with this, why should he give us any more? And we had to retain a grateful heart for one another, for what we had, for our lot in life. And it kept our hearts able to be free from bitterness. And when we'd run into problems, solutions would pop up. We were able to see solutions and answers. But watch when you lose gratefulness and watch how the answer can be right there and you'll be blind to it. So the second thing about having a grateful heart and the power of gratefulness is it opens our eyes to the answers. And that's what happened there in Exodus 15. It's a lesson that God's teaching. Because in every lesson, in every affliction, there's a lesson. We find in Hebrews 5:8, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. There's a lesson in everything. But I think one of the greatest benefits of having a grateful heart is what the Lord spoke to the children of Israel about. And he said, if you will obey my statutes and commandments, if you will do what I say, you will not be susceptible to the diseases that came upon the Egyptians. You'll have an immunity to them. There will be your immune system will be stronger. And I won't put the diseases on you that I did on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. He actually initiates a covenant of healing, or health. There's a better way to say that covenant. The covenant of health to the children of Israel in the midst of this teaching them about grateful heartedness. He was simply saying this, that I created you to be a grateful people. That's how I wired you up. You function better as grateful people. When you lose a heart of gratefulness and stress displaces gratefulness, grumbling starts displacing it, the symptoms will be depression, discouragement, disheartenment, stress, anxiety will rush in like a storm. Here's what God is saying. I created you to function well with a heart of gratefulness. That's how I designed you. You remove that, and what will rush in will be anxiety and stress, and that's how our country lives today. So this is what he's saying. Would you write in your notes? When we have a heart of gratefulness, it brings wholeness to our lives. It brings wholeness. Not only does it keep us from bitterness, but it brings wholeness. So it's not just defensive, it's offensive. It brings wholeness. Here's what God is saying. Often we say, God, here's a problem. Give me the solution and then I'll be grateful. You know what God is saying? No. No, in the Bible, here's the principle of God. You be grateful and then I'll give you the solutions. See, often we say, well, give me the answer and then I'll go to church. Give me the answer and then maybe I'll love you and sing this song. But if you don't, then I don't even know why I should go to church, God. Like I'm doing you a favor by going to your church. You need my $5. The Lord is saying, no, 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 no. Well, give me the answer and then I'll be grateful. No, 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 no. Here's the principle of God. You be grateful. Recalibrate your heart to gratefulness. And then solutions start popping up everywhere. Do you see that? That's what God is saying. And if we miss that, we'll miss the promises of God. Because you enter into his presence with thanksgiving. And when you have that kind of heart, what it does is it increases almost your immune system. You see, when there's a presence of stress inside of you, you become so susceptible to every disease that comes down the pike. But let's read what he says. Ready? Exodus 15, 26. Go. And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. The covenant of health God gives to us. Why? Because he's saying here, I designed you to function the best with hearts of gratefulness. And when you displace that and you lose that, your immunity or your immune system decreases. You become susceptible not only to physical disease, but primarily to the disease of anxiety, nervousness, stress, anger, bitterness. Outside storms become inside storms. And the Lord is saying, but if you'll understand the principle of a grateful heart, the power of a grateful heart, then you will keep in abeyance, you'll keep at a distance those diseases that would have encroached upon your relationships, ministry, marriage, children, and health. It's a covenant of health. Why? Because I created you to function this way. So obey the principles of God That's how you function best. Why do you think God gives us his regulations and his statutes? What he's saying is, this is how I created you. I know how you function the best. And if you'll stick with that, you'll see how healthy you can become in all your relationships. And then you'll have something called peace in your heart. Let's read the final scripture. Ready? Go. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed call, and be thankful. God is saying this, you were called to have peace rule in your heart. Oh, by the way, recalibrate and be what? Thankful. Because you'll enter my presence with thanksgiving. God wants to make people better. And one of the prerequisites is recalibrate your heart so that the base of your heart, the starting point, not the end of your reach, but the start of your reach, is a grateful heart. Let's ask God to recalibrate our hearts. That in everything we give thanks, for this is the will of God. I forget a lot about what happened in Bible college, but let me give you in closing what happened that will always remind me of this scripture, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. And it protects your heart from getting bitter, and it helps you to see solutions rather than just the problem, and it keeps you healthy. I was playing racquetball with a very good racquetball player named Rich Shaboya, and there's two of us that were really amateurs, and I'm only 7 weeks old in the Lord, and I went to Bible college, and I'm very brand new at this. And so we're playing cutthroat, which is three people in this walled area for racquetball. And the ball is going at about 100 miles an hour now. And two of us, myself and a guy named Gary, we're just brand new at this. And so we're swinging and missing the ball. And so Richard's saying, no, be safe. Now here, you stand here and do this. And so he's a very good racquetball player teaching us. Well, he hit one, and Gary just starts playing around, he's acting dumb, and he turns around and whacks Richard on the head and slices open his head. Blood comes pouring out. And Richard, who's a wonderful Christian, just grabs his head like this. Now blood is coming through his fingers, and he just starts saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And I'm mad at this guy who's playing around and just injures. This guy is trying to help us. And Richard's saying, thank you, Jesus. And I'm like, what are you doing? Jesus, this has nothing to do with this. What are you saying, thank you, Jesus? He didn't do this. I wanted to slug this other guy, Gary, for being so dumb. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I said, get in the car. And all in the car, going to the emergency, Richard saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm thinking, you better thank him so no blood gets on my car. I zip over there, and they stitch him up, about six stitches. And they then put ice on it. I take him back to the Bible college dormitory, and he's laying back like this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm thinking, you are nuts. Why are you saying? So finally, I get to the dormitory, and before I get him to his room, I said, Richard, why in the world are you saying thank you, Jesus? Jesus didn't have anything to do with this. Because I wanted to deck this guy, Gary, for doing this. And I said, why are you just saying thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. And Richard said, well, the reason I had to keep saying thank you, Jesus, was because I wanted to slug Gary. I said, I like you. I like you. But I remember that situation, that incident so clearly, because it keeps reminding me in everything, give thanks, because this is the will of God. Why? Because it protects your heart from bitterness. Just say, thank you, Lord. I don't understand. I don't know why, but I just need to keep my heart before you, because you can split the Red Sea. You can handle this. But I will not be able to see your solutions or your answers and cooperate with you if I've got a heart of bitterness. I've got to protect my heart. Yes, Wayne, in everything give thanks, because this is the will of God for you. Why? Because you haven't appropriated yet my answers. You're about to if you keep a grateful heart. And I can turn bitter water into sweet if you'll just keep your heart right. And I'll show you the answer. It's right there. But you'll be blind to it if you've got a bitter heart. It's a wonderful principle of how God makes people better. To enter into his promises, recalibrate your heart today to gratefulness and watch how options start popping up everywhere. Amen.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Grateful Heartedness by Dr. Wayne Cordero. And may we say how very, very grateful we are to you for tuning our way. God bless you. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.